Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 88. This session is going to play off of session 87 a little bit. So on session 87, the last podcast session, I talked a little bit about administrative audits. So audits where we are checking our administrative procedures. So doing client file audits or team member file audits or checking data to see if the policies that we have in place are being followed consistently. I thought a nice complement to that might be talking about clinical audits. And sometimes clinical audits can come from the funders, so our insurance companies, or from school districts, right? Whoever is paying for our services. And sometimes we want to do internal audits, or oftentimes we want to do internal audits so that when those external audits come, we're prepared and that we have a pretty good idea of what to expect. We aim to do audits on 10% of all of our notes. So when I talk about notes, I'm talking about our daily session notes, and that's across disciplines. So ABA, speech, occupational therapy, and mental health. And we do those internal audits, and we have what we call QAs, or quality assurance tools. And those are created from a variety of sources. So sometimes funders will tell you exactly what they want in their session notes. TRICARE does this, and some of our other funders have expressed what should be in different notes of different types, right? So notes for direct sessions, notes for assessments, notes for protocol modification. Sometimes different organizations like APA, the American Psychological Association, might give guidance on what should be in a note. The American Medical Association might give some guidance about how to do general medical documentation. And so we pool all of these different resources and then create these QA tools. And they're meant to be something that we check against, right? So the audit, you get X checks out of a total of Y, and then you get a percent. And so not only can it be used to give feedback to our different clinicians, but it also can be a teaching tool, right? Because if this is what I'm testing you on or checking, then I want to be sure that you know what's expected. And so that content for those different QAs are in some training materials that we create to teach our clinicians the expectations for documentation. So that's sort of our note audit. Sometimes we might also do audits of the actual service, right? So there are some different, again, we call them QAs or quality assurance for things like pairing or building rapport. There's some different steps that we might be looking for there that could be used to help ensure that we are or are not implementing these different techniques or demonstrating these skills as we hope to see them. And so those may be conducted across different clinicians. In general, they're done periodically. Ideally, we'd be doing them quarterly or biannually. And we are still operating under a somewhat different than ideal sort of way, because we're still, we have a lot of increased cleaning protocols and stuff like that related to COVID. So I will be honest in saying that we aren't getting to them as much as I would like ideally, and we're getting to them when we can based on prioritizing and pivoting whatever's most kind of relevant or whatever's happening most in that moment or at that time. So we're auditing, how we are demonstrating certain skills, like pairing, error correction is another one, delivering reinforcement. And then just like with our note QAs, these QAs can be used to guide instruction, right? So if what I'm expecting in delivering reinforcement, right, let's say it happened, it's a variety of different reinforcements are used, it's delivered at the time of the behavior occurring, it's delivered in a positive manner, right? If these are the things that I'm checking for, or that our BCBAs are checking for, then we want to be sure that that's what we're teaching our RBTs, or our technicians, or our occupational therapists, or our speech language pathologists, or our mental health clinicians, right? Reinforcement should be everywhere, or even our office manager, our director of details. We want to be sure that we are all implementing with fidelity, and an audit, right, a quality assurance check can be a way to do that. It also, again, gives us these tools that we can use to design our training, because if we're testing people on things or checking for the maintenance of behaviors, we have to be sure that we've taught them, right? And so it can kind of make sure that our teaching is aligned with what we're looking for. So I talked about our session notes, talking a little bit about how we are checking for really fidelity checks, right? And, you know, that's we audit to make sure that things are being done with fidelity. And then also the actual implementation of certain skills and strategies. I would also say that reports go along with our session notes in that it is a permanent product of what has just occurred. And so we have QAs, or those, again, quality assurance tools for different reports, for different funders, and for different disciplines. So, you know, speech, occupational therapy, mental health treatment plans, ABA treatment plans, we have these quality assurance tools that help the clinicians with what needs to be included, and then also as a way to give feedback. Yes, you've got this. Oops, you're missing that. For the different components that should be part of each of these documents based on different funders or best practices from maybe ASHA or AOTA. You know, maybe the BACB has some information that's been put out. Or again, we go back to the American Medical Association, which gives guidance for general medical documentation. And I'm talking about medical documentation because I'm really talking about funding by insurances. So if we are being paid by somebody's insurance, then we need to, you know, it's a medical service. It's also true if we're providing educational services, then we need to make sure that we are meeting the criteria. So here in North Carolina, it might be North Carolina's Department of Public or Non-Public Instruction, or the Defense Health Agency's education activity, right? Whatever education setting or medical setting that we're working in is going to give us some parameters about what needs to be included and what we can and can't or shouldn't be doing. And so these audits provide a way to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing consistently. Maybe you can take a moment and think about what are your current audit practices, right? In the last podcast session, we talked a little bit about administrative audits, and today we talked a little bit about those clinical audits. So what are your current audit processes? And it's totally okay if you say, oh shit, I don't have any yet. The power of yet, right? You can create something. And so think about what might you like that to look like? At what level or what frequency is an audit necessary based on the team that you have, their experience, their baseline, right, their current performance, and where you'd like them to be or where they need to be? Then you might want to think about who is going to do that auditing. Because if you're listening to this and your plate's already full, you might think, I can't possibly take on something else. And one of our values is providing high quality service, so we do need some oversight. These kind of audits can be a great thing to outsource to somebody teleworking. So it could be something that you outsource to a seasoned clinician. I serve in this capacity for two different organizations where I review some of their documentation and some of their reports. So that might be something that you reach out to somebody for some support to get that done. And again, you know, we're here in more rural southeastern North Carolina, so it's okay if you don't have anyone who's sort of in your geographic location. Again, this could be something that's outsourced. Or, so we have clinicians who work in different disciplines at Del Mar. I'm not an OT and I'm not an SLP. And so you can outsource to other clinicians in that discipline who are in other places, and they can help conduct those quality assurance audits for your team when you can't serve in that capacity. So thinking about how often and who's going to do it, and what the resources are going to look like. And then remember, what is the reinforcement or error correction going to look like? So make sure that when we're doing those audits, that when stuff's looking good, we're giving reinforcement to those clinicians. That's so important, right? We know that consequence strategies help maintain behavior or change behavior. And so we want to provide reinforcement when we see the behaviors we want to see more often. And then we also want to be thoughtful about error correction. So if, as we're completing those quality assurance checklists and doing these internal clinical or administrative audits, what do we do when we see breakdowns? You know, do we give a training? Maybe. Maybe we sit and give specific feedback and then increase the frequency of audits for that specific person or that specific service or that specific whatever we audited until it increases to our predetermined minimum acceptable performance. And then we give reinforcement. Never forget that reinforcement. These are some of the ways that we today, you know, talked about clinical audits, and then last time talked about administrative audits. Hopefully there's some information for you to think about if you are implementing an audit system. Maybe you sort of pause and you say, yay, me, I'm doing that and it's working and it's helping. I'd love to hear about it either via email or in the ABA Business Builders group. And maybe you're thinking, gosh, I really hadn't thought about that. And this might be something I want to implement. I'd love to hear about that too. What's working for your organization? What isn't working? Sometimes we learn as much or more from things that we've tried that don't work as when we try something and it does work. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, a big thank you. For those who've been tuning in over the last 3 years now, three and some change years, I also want to say thank you. I'm excited to be back again after our COVID hiatus, where I had to prioritize and pivot and put the energy where it needed to be to make sure that our organization and those around me were getting what they needed from me. And I'm, again, excited to have some extra energy that I can put back into this podcast. I hope that it's helpful and useful. And as always, time is our most valuable resource because it's limited. So if you've spent the last 13 minutes with me, Dr. Becca Tagg, on the Business of Behavior podcast, I hope that you found something that you can take away and that's useful. I'd love to have you join us in our ABA Business Builders Facebook group or reach out via email. And we'll talk again soon. Have a great rest of your day.